Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. One of today's greatest challenges is protecting our country against terrorists and the instruments of terror, while at the same time fostering the country's economic security through lawful trade and travel. With us this morning to discuss this program's role in facing this challenge is our special guest, Lou Samenfink, Executive Director of the Cargo Systems Program Office at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Alan Heath, partner in IBM's Customs and Border Protection Services Group. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Al. Good morning, Lou.
Lou, perhaps you can begin by providing our listeners with some context. Could you tell us about the mission and the history of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, or sometimes referred to as CBP?
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to get on here and talk about the program that we're building, the automated commercial environment. In terms of customs, it's been around since the beginning of the country, really. But it was after 9/11 that a major change occurred. And specifically, there were several agencies that were combined. When I worked at the border, we had customs, we had immigration, we had different agriculture folks working. And after 9/11, the Congress created the Department of Homeland Security and linked all of these agencies together. And as a result, because of those events, while we've always been worried about smuggling, things coming into the country, illegal activity and so forth that we wanted to prevent, public health and safety, the mission of the agency really changed. And quite simply, it's to prevent the entry of terrorists and their weapons coming into this country while at the same time facilitating legitimate trade and travel. Commissioner Basham has often said, and my boss at Customs and Border Protection, that if we hamper trade and travel and people and goods coming in and out of this country so severely to do the anti-terrorism mission, then in a sense, the terrorists have won as well.
Now, Lou, this is obviously a very broad and critical mission to our country, but can you give us a sense of scale of this operation? How many miles of border are covered? How many ports? How many people and items pass through the U.S. borders?
Well, I've got all kinds of numbers in front of me here, and without reciting them all down, and certainly there's places that people can go to get more detailed information. But, we have a 1,900-mile land border with Mexico, a 5,000-mile land border with Canada. There's 314 ports of entry around the country. And then, of course, outside of those ports, there's everything that the Border Patrol does in between the ports, 95,000 miles of shoreline that need protecting. On a typical day, we process over 1 million passengers, collect about $80 million in revenue. We make almost 100 arrests across the country, seize 5,000 pounds of narcotics. And then specific to the area that I'm involved in, which is international trade of cargo and so forth and imports and exports, we're processing hundreds of thousands of bills of lading coming in by various modes of transportation each day. There's 600,000 importers of record, people that pay duties, taxes, and fees to this country that we interact with. There's 2,800 automated interfaces we have with people that are giving us the information that they send in. In addition, as far as export is concerned, we deal with 135,000 different companies that are sending stuff out of the United States that are reporting their exports that are going to other countries.
Lou, now that you provided us a sense of the larger CBP responsibilities, perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about your specific role as the Executive Director of the Cargo Systems Program Office. What are your official responsibilities? What is your program? How does the program office support the mission of CBP and the Department of Homeland Security?
Yeah, sure, Al. We have an existing automated system that's been around for a couple decades now. It's called the Automated Commercial System. It's still out there. It's still working. It's still doing a lot of processing. We're in the process of replacing it with a new system. But essentially, my mission and my job is to keep that existing system plugging along, working, doing the things that it has to do to support the mission of our officers and other staff in the field, and also build this new system. And in a sense, that's really it. It's interfacing with the business customers that I have, both inside the agency and our external stakeholders, members of the trade community, other participating government agencies, Food and Drug Administration, Department of Agriculture, Environmental Protection Agency, and so forth, to make sure that what we're doing at those borders as cargo comes in and what we're doing after the fact to collect statistics, to protect the revenue and so forth is all being supported by this technology. 20 years ago when I came to Washington to work in Customs headquarters, when I left the field, there was very little automation at the land border I was at. We had a few systems that we would query, and when I got to headquarters, we were in the midst of building something that, again, is still out there today. And that automation, that ability to use that tool to do and eliminate a lot of paperwork, to speed up the ability of our officers to quickly check information, has really been a force multiplier. Our officers can do a lot more today using those systems than they ever could have done looking at pieces of paper one at a time.
What have been the top three challenges that you have faced, and how have you addressed those challenges?
Well, that's a great question. And program management, I guess it's kind of a pain at times, depending on how you want to look at it. And I would put the top three things sort of in this order. First of all, scope. We define a project. This is a development contract that we're on. There was not a very super detailed set of specifications when we started off on this. Alan, you know that. And managing that scope, understanding the expectations that we have for both our internal and external customers is so key. Everybody wants everything. I can sit down with the trade community, hey, Lou, wouldn't it be great if the system did this, and wouldn't it be great if the system did that? And eventually you have to start telling people, well, yes, it would be, but guess what? I can't do that now because I've outlined a body of work and I have to maintain that. And folks don't want to hear that. So scope management is really, I think, at the top of the list. Second beneath that, stakeholder management. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen on this one. We have the trade community that has a lot of vested interests, other federal agencies that are engaged, of course, my own senior management within Customs, the Department of Homeland Security. Congress is a huge player. And, of course, just the American people. I mean, we're doing a show here today doing outreach and stuff to folks in the Washington area. We've done other outreach across the country, been in a lot of newspapers and magazines, and the taxpayers are wondering how we're spending these billions of dollars on building the system and what kind of value they're getting out of that. So keeping those stakeholders apprised, keeping them satisfied, telling them the truth that, you know, sorry, this isn't going to happen the way you thought, but we'll get to it eventually, another challenge. And then the final one, and maybe that kind of goes to sort of what this show is about a little bit, is contract management. We're using a set of government employees and contract employees to build the system to maintain what's out there. And there's really a challenge there. The challenge is we have to work together. And when you enter into a business relationship with someone, there's task orders, there's written documents, there's contracting officers, there's money changing hands. And of course, companies are in business to make money, and we have to appreciate that. And then at the same time, if we get so wedded to all of these contracts, to all of these I's that we have to dot and T's that we have to cross, we lose sight of the shared responsibility and the mission that we have to achieve. And finding that middle ground where the government and the private sector are truly working together in an open, honest, and sharing environment where they're communicating effectively, it's key. It's key to success. And it's a challenge. I don't think it's a challenge because we're sitting down pointing fingers at each other saying, hey, I'm not going to work with you or I don't. It's a challenge because you have bosses that are looking for their bottom line and I have bosses that are looking to put product out there. And somehow we have to come together and hit both of those marks. So those are the three challenges that I see.
Lou, you made a reference earlier to working at a land border. Could you describe for us your career path? How did you get started in government?
Yeah, sure. I was living up near the Canadian border back in the 70s, and I took a test with civil service and was selected for a position as what was then called a customs inspector, and I worked in Champlain, New York, which is south of Montreal and north of New York City. We used to get a lot of traffic on that interstate going between those two major metropolitan areas. Worked there for about 9 years, learned a ton. Met people from all over the world, very interesting work. In 1987, they picked me to go to headquarters, and I actually worked on the existing legacy system that we have, the automated commercial system. And then since I've been in headquarters, every 2 or 3 years, I bounced around to different jobs doing a variety of things, and I've learned a lot. Not any real big secret or anything, but I ended up about 2.5 years ago in this position managing the program that we're on.
So I'm curious, how has these movements around the organization prepared you for your current leadership role and shaped your management approach and your leadership style?
Change. It's all about change. Everything is always changing. Nothing stands still. And I guess that's just the way life is. And in this program, you know, the Congress will pass a law or the administration has a requirement or the trade community needs something done or our field officers have something that they need the system to do immediately. The list goes on. And all the change and all the different jobs that I've had and all the reorganizations that we've been through from one to another, I think that's the biggest thing that's prepared me, as opposed to if somebody gave me a book and said, hey, eventually you're going to be doing this job. This is how you do it. It's going through all those different positions. It's not staying in a comfort zone. It's going into jobs where you don't really have a complete grasp of what's happening, and you have to learn when you get in there. And I think that's what's prepared me the most for it. It's being ready and prepared to just do something different and give it a shot.
That's fantastic. What is the Automated Commercial Environment, or ACE? We will ask Lou Salmonfink, Executive Director of the Cargo Systems Program Office at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.